kickoff hour number three here live from the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. And they've got 0% financing on 2018 Silverados right now, up to $14,000 off your truck champions and the number one Chevy dealer in East Tennessee. It's Mountain View Chevy I-24 right off I-24 in downtown Chattanooga and online at mtnviewchevy.com. We're talking Titans. We're talking Patriots NFL playoffs this weekend. The Patriots under Tom Brady in his 20 career home playoff games, 17-3. I actually thought it might be better than that. Is that sad? Because I feel like the only time they get knocked out of the playoffs is when they have to go on the road.
Yeah. It's not good.
I don't know that I even remember the three home losses.
Well, Gruden had one and got it taken away from him on the tuck rule.
Might have been Peyton.
I'll be honest.
Towards the end of his career, Peyton in the playoffs.
I feel like at least one of those was. I can't remember if it's two out of the three.
I hope you're right.
I think after 2006, like I don't know if I can't remember if the Patriots beat Peyton in the playoffs.
NFL.com says this is bad news for Marcus Mariota. Since 2001, quarterbacks making their first or second career playoff start are 0-7 versus the Patriots.
Yeah. The Patriots are 0-1 against teams that are 9-7 in the playoffs.
Mariota won his first career playoff start last week against the Chiefs. That's big, winning your first playoff game. And we'll try to do what Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Tim Tebow, and four other quarterbacks failed to do. Beat the Patriots in their first run in the playoffs.
I'm not even worried.
I do feel like the playoff games
house money
in New England late in the year like this generally aren't like New England games early in the season. Like, I used to do tons of fantasy football analysis, all that kind of stuff. New England at home early in the season was a recipe for massive point totals. Remember the Randy Moss year? Remember the years Tom Brady was healthy and mad at the world? He would just put up monster numbers early, first half of the season, especially when they're at home. He's throwing the ball all over the place.
I've tried to forget about these.
But in the playoffs, those games have felt differently. I remember a Mark Sanchez-led Jets losing at New England in, I think, the AFC Championship game one year, and it was kind of low scoring. I felt like the Jets kind of had a chance. Of course, they had a good defense. Mm-hmm. But these games in the playoffs, you generally aren't like massive blowouts for the Patriots. Even the Jets this year during the regular season hung around with the Pats. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm in my head. Maybe I'm not giving the Titans much of a shot. The line at 13.5 feels about perfect because if I'm picking this game, I'm probably thinking the Patriots are two touchdowns better, right in that range. So that's a really hard, hard pick to make if you're going to gamble on the game.
I mean, I'm fine with no one really giving the Titans a chance. No one thought they were going to beat the Chiefs.
That's true.
I understand this is completely two different teams, but last time, like, I don't have a whole lot to recall on whenever it comes to my knowledge of watching the Titans in the playoffs, but they were the number one seed back in 08 whenever they ended up getting beat by the Ravens in this round, and everybody was kind of thinking, I think the Titans are going to pull it out. So, I mean, it's kind of the opposite now. Like, no one's giving them a chance.
No shot, yeah. Bill Belichick, this will be his 37th career playoff game. That breaks a tie with Tom Landry and Don Shula for the most in NFL history.
And this is the second for Mike Mularkey?
He already holds the NFL record for playoff wins with 26 and Super Bowl wins with 5 by a head coach. We talked about Belichick, Saban, all that kind of stuff the other day. I mean, Belichick, he's the best football coach ever. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
Man, we get it. Okay?
How old was
we get it. We're going in to a hostile environment against maybe the greatest quarterback of all time with maybe the greatest coach of all time, one of the greatest franchises of all time to try to end one of the greatest dynasties of all time. Nate, we understand that. But we can't walk into this game with fear. We walk into it with pride, with accountability, with toughness. We go in there. We don't get awed by the crowd or the weather or how warm it's going to be compared to here. We go in there with a purpose, to play as a team, to win. You play to win the game, regardless of who's on the other sideline. Who's lined up across the line of scrimmage from you. You don't matter. You don't care. Go out there and hit Tom Brady. You go out there and you run out of bounds, and you maybe hit Belichick in the shoulder. Say, Robert Kraft, sup? Flip him off. You got to flip him off so he sees it.
Pull the Bud Adams.
Yeah. Maybe you disrespect the crowd a little bit.
Which way?
Can't be scared. No room for fear in this game. Not this weekend. You're playing with house money. You just came back and beat the Chiefs on the road. Tough place to win in the playoffs. The Chiefs never lose at home in the playoffs. Anyway, you came back and you won. You know who went in and beat the Patriots this year in New England and beat their brains in? The team you just beat. The team you just beat went into New England and stomped a mud hole in the Patriots. If they can do it, you can do it. Go do it again. I got faith in the Titans. I'm feeling good. Run the ball. Hit Tom Brady. Score when you have opportunities. That's a recipe for success. I should write a coaching book. Run the ball. Hit Tom Brady. Score when you can. Boom. Victory. John Reed will be there. What more do you need? Terrell will be there. I think Terrell's going, right? Terrell's going?
I don't know.
Marwan's going. Great crew.
Yeah.
Great crew going
the
up there.
The good luck crew, we're calling them. The GLs.
Go up there. They're going to have a friggin' lobster roll. And then they're going to go watch the Titans pull the upset of the century.
I feel
good about it.
I feel like the Titans can't do the, like, we don't respect you. Like, there's two different types of teams that pull off massive Cinderella-type upsets. There's the Florida Gulf Coast that says, we don't care who you are. We fly high. We jump like you. We shoot like you. We press and run like you. We give you no respect. And they come in and they win. There's teams that try that and get blasted also. Yeah. And then
say you go that way because if you win, you're awesome. And you build more confidence. And if you lose, it's the Patriots.
There's also teams, though, that come in and stay quiet and just don't talk.
You want to be the humble and
just let their play do the talking.
Uh-huh.
And then once the game's over and they've won, this massive, I mean, you just said it, best coach, maybe best player, best
dynasty.
Best playoff record, best dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, once that's said and done and they interview Marcus Mariota and, you know, Derrick Henry, and those guys are like, yeah, we respect the Patriots and what they've done. We just knew that we could play our game and da da da. Like,
you're talking more of how this Titans team talks.
That's very respectful. That's the plan. Yeah,
very hat tippy, very bow in the presence of greatness, but play really hard and see if you can go in there and steal a win. I mean, that's the Marcus Mariota blueprint, right? Be humble, play hard, be quiet, be respectful, and then if you win, you know, you give credit to someone else. That's if teams take on the personality of their coach and their quarterback, this will not be a Titans team that starts talking a lot of you-know-what at the game. I was having a little fun. They need to play with an edge. Maybe they're quiet and humble, but they're bumping Tom Brady. Maybe they're quiet and they're humble, but they're whispering, you know, some smack talk occasionally. I don't know. I don't think you can go in here and just roll your helmet out without trying to gain some type of an advantage, because every advantage is for New England in this game. So you've got to find an edge somewhere, and I just don't know where you do that.
Yeah, that's good. That's
special teams, maybe? Do we feel good about special teams? I feel good about suck up in, you know, from 45 and in or so.
I feel good about the special teams, and I know that was one of the biggest things the Titans looked to this past offseason as far as solidifying that unit. They last year, if you remember, they fired their special teams coordinator 4 games in, and they were completely dominated in all facets in the punt return, kick return, you name it.
Yeah.
I guess suck ups really has been the last 2 years, or under Mularkey, the only consistent thing they had going for that unit. We have watched Dory Jackson take 2 punt returns to the house to only have them call back for penalty. Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets a break this time. I'm just waiting for him to break one off and there not be a penalty. Maybe this is the game. But he had a muffed punt against Kansas City in the first half, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so like you cannot have those mistakes. This is the type of games we mentioned. You got to be solid in every phase of the game. You can't give the Patriots opportunities that they'll take advantage of like that, because I think the Chiefs, I don't think they scored a I don't remember if they scored or not on that possession, but you can't even leave it up to chance with Belichick and Brady.
I feel like the Titans offense finally got going when Marcus Mariota just locked in on Delanie Walker too. And you guys talked about how the Chiefs, you know, with Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt, you know, gave the Patriots that loss in week one of the season. I feel like Delanie Walker can kind of be the Kelce piece of that. I do feel like Derrick Henry's kind of the Kareem Hunt piece of that. I just, like, where do you find the over-the-top play, though?
I don't know.
I mean, no one is Tyreek Hill in the NFL. He's kind of the only one of his breed, and I just don't, I feel like someone else in the passing game, like one of the wide receivers, or either Marcus Mariota has to have one of those games where he distributes the ball to all the receivers at different times and they can make some key catches. They're going to have to make some catches, some contested, tough type of catches, and he's going to have to throw them open some just to keep the offense on schedule and then allow Derrick Henry to wear down the defense some for the Patriots and keep them in the football game.
Corey Davis is still yet to have a touchdown this season. He came really close one time, dove for the pylon or the end zone and ended up fumbling it through out of bounds of the end zone. It was called a touchback, but look for him to maybe have something. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like waiting for something big to happen for one of these people you've been hearing a lot about this season, but it's just not came together.
If they're gonna win, they need something like that, right? Where he breaks a tackle or gets behind somebody and you get a – I mean, do we agree that the Titans are probably going to need a cheap touchdown in this game?
Yes.
Right? To win in regulation, I think the Titans are going to need a cheap touchdown. Maybe even to get, you know, to overtime. You're gonna need a cheap one.
Mm-hmm.
A pick six, a fumble return, special teams, coverage break. And frankly, the Patriots have done that a few times this year. They've had some really bad coverage breakdowns over the course of the season. It's just normally they're up, you know, they're up by two scores and someone cuts it to seven and then they score again and again and again and it doesn't really matter. Try to confuse them if you can. But it's possible. It's out there. It's happened all year. But I do think the Titans are going to need a cheap one, maybe two, honestly.
We'll hit a quick break here on the program. Stick with us. You're listening to 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville on Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment of the program brought to you by the East Tennessee Fishing Show and Expo. EastTNFishingShow.com for all the details.
At Fishing Show TN on Twitter.
There you go.
Adam Hutchins received
our
his
boy got his cooler.
Orca cooler yesterday.
There you go.
Sent out a pick, tagged the station. Appreciate that. Adam, this is the largest fishing show dedicated to fishermen in the Southeast. Has been for over 30 years. 90,000 square feet of fish and stuff. As Nate said, EastTNFishingShow.com for details, times, and professionals.
Ot Defo.
Otter Defo.
There you go. I think I just said there you go three times.
There you go. There you go.
It's my new eye, I guess.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's go to the phone lines. Bring on Roberto.
There you go.
Berto, you're on 3 and Out. What's up, bud?
Morning, boys.
Morning, man.
Houston, you're forgetting part of Ott's intro. It's actually Wani Village and Cherokee Lake Legend.
Maybe, but he's pretty damn good on Douglas, too. Trust me.
It's like a Khaleesi intro.
Catcher of fish. Smallmouth whisperer.
As I believe it, on the Coming to America, Evelyn Good. He's a good
He good.
Fisherman.
He good.
He good. Evelyn Good. So, gentlemen, you guys have hit a lot of topics today, but I haven't heard you talk much Saints, if any. So what do the Saints, I mean, you talk Titans all day long. What do the Saints need to do to establish the run again? I was flabbergasted the other day that we had to win through the air.
That's a good question. I mean, that was kind of their number. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Berto, because I know you follow the Saints. I know you're a big fan. The defense was the big issue for them the last couple of years. Why they
we'll
weren't
say 4 years?
Last 4 years, yeah. So the big issue with why they
Sorry. That's my bad. It was a pop up. I had no idea where that was coming from. Terrified me.
But I mean, the defense has been the main issue. Obviously, it's better this year, and it's why they're back in this position. You know, the 12-5 record. I don't. I don't. Off the top of my head, I believe the Panthers' run defense was pretty good this year. So I don't know I don't know if it was just an opponent thing, Roberto, or a playoff thing. I don't know. This week doesn't get much easier though. I mean, Minnesota's defense with Mike Zimmer's their calling card. I think Sean Payton will probably try and get the running backs involved with some different stuff. Instead, you can't just really line up and run the ball at Minnesota, but that's where Alvin Kamara comes in. That's where the screen – I think you'll probably see some running back screen passes to Mark Ingram, actually. They'll put Ingram in the game, and they'll try and kind of work against some of their tendencies that they've put on film this year.
Like, disguise the passing game to him. That's pretty cool. I didn't think about that.
He was on my fantasy team. The only reason I know this, but he's actually hit some big – like just a traditional running back screen, you know, like they're in kind of a normal run type of set. Breeze drops back to pass, or they fake like the little tight end screen to one side. He comes back and dumps it to Ingram on the other, and you know he gets 18, that type of stuff. I bet you see a lot of that on Sunday afternoon.
Well, you know, and the one thing that the Saints have prided themselves on all year would be the balance in Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. You know, I know you guys know this stat, but most people don't. They were the first tandem to ever have 1,500 yards from scrimmage as a running back tandem ever, each. You guys knew that, right?
Yeah, I saw that stat. I think
when they both made the Pro Bowl too. That was kind of floating around there. It's been a great season for that whole backfield.
Right, but you know, I think that this weekend's matchup between the Saints and the Vikings is basically the NFC Championship. I just don't. It hurts my feelings to know that Atlanta is going to end up in the NFC Championship game for sure, basically, because Nick Foles is just awful. And, you know, the Saints have to go through Minnesota, who's the only team with a pulse left. You know, a question for you guys as well. Did you guys notice that Tennessee fell in the RPI by beating Vanderbilt?
Yes, I did. Isn't it still – am I nuts here, Roberto, but isn't it – it's always just been your record, your opponent's record, and your opponent's record, and they've tweaked how those three things are weighted, but it doesn't matter. Like,
some guys do neutral as well. Neutral floor, home floor,
okay.
Visiting floor.
Yeah,
some
I was
guys do that, but I don't think officially it does that.
I was wondering where, because I know Davey and I had noticed there are some differences with different RPI stuff, so that must be where it comes in. But sometimes your record going up by a win cannot overcome the fact that the team you played's record is so bad that it drops your entire number. And it's just a number. That's all it is. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. But at least the SEC is so strong this year. You know, when you start playing some of these teams that had great non-conference schedules, it's not going to hurt you as much as it would have in some previous seasons.
Yeah, after the Texas A&M game, you'll probably see it drop some. But after that, based off of the schedule you got coming up, it'll steady
you
out.
You
got
to play Vandy
Texas
again.
Texas A&M's got a top 30 RPI, man.
I know, like, that's what, yeah, so drop. After A&M. No, after A&M, the schedule you got coming up with those teams, you're going to see it drop some.
Yeah. Probably not. Actually, Tennessee only plays two teams below 100 in the RPI now for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think what Davey's saying is you got South Carolina and Vandy coming up as two of your next three.
Oh, yeah,
well,
sure. It's going to drop a little bit there, but then it rebounds pretty hard.
Right.
You know, and my question to you guys is simply this about Vanderbilt. Are they really 6-10 bad? They seem like they're a pretty damn good basketball team. Like, they had some things going for them. They just couldn't hold us off because Grant Williams, you know, I guess the kids say went ham, or is that not a thing anymore?
Not sure about the ruling on whether or not he went ham. I'd have to check. I'd have to check about that. Isn't Vanderbilt really, really young? I know they got a lot of talented guys, but I think it seems like it's a pretty new, like LeChance, he was like Stallings' first recruit or something. I don't know. He's been there for a decade.
I think he was Jan Van Brennikoff's first recruit. I think you're wrong about it. I think he's been in college longer than any player I've ever seen. He's like been there as long as Teddy DuPay was at Florida.
I think Vanderbilt's problem, Roberto, is they play too tough of a non-conference for just where they are. They are kind of decent. But, you know, like, they lost to Belmont. They went on the road and played Belmont and lost, which is a good, you know.
Belmont, I mean, is that really a road game, though?
Not really, but it's still not your gym, you know. I mean, especially when Vanderbilt's gym's so weird. They lost against Southern Cal. So, I mean, that's another kind of power team they're playing instead of just playing a cupcake. They had to play Virginia, who's number, what, three in the country now. They lost to Seton Hall.
Who's Arizona State.
Top 15 team. Arizona State, top 15 team. They played MTSU, I guess, trying to kind of create some mid-state stuff, and MTSU's really good. MTSU almost beat USC in a different game. So I think they just played a really tough non-conference, which is why their record is definitely worse than probably what their talent level is. They could have scheduled like an Auburn type of schedule, and their record would be better. They'd be the same team, but it'd look a little better on paper.
Right. And then going to Auburn, you know, I thought they were kind of a joke coming in here, but, man, they're a pretty good basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to make the tournament.
Yeah, and aren't they still missing like two players that are suspended, Roberto? I mean, they're not even clicking on all their
guys back.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, imagine what they could have been had those guys not gone down. But you're right, at the time you thought that's not a good loss, especially the way the game went. And then I think it was, the next game or two games later, they did the exact same thing to Arkansas. They ran Arkansas out of the gym. Arkansas, by the way, had a really horrible loss to LSU. I think either last night or the night before, lost by 22 to LSU at home. So that one's a head-scratcher if you're a Tennessee fan, although LSU under Wade playing pretty good the last few games, I will say. They beat A&M and now beat Arkansas. SEC's just weird. It really is deep. It's deep and it's confusing because the teams that we all thought were going to be at the bottom are at least good enough to beat just about everybody. That's why, you know, protecting home court and stealing road wins like Tennessee did. I know Vanderbilt's not good, but winning on the road, making sure you don't kind of slip into the trap is you're going to have to do it the rest of the way. Because right now, there just don't appear to be gimmies in this league.
Yeah, last point, and to verify what you're saying, did you guys see Lenardi's thing the other day? He's got 9 SEC teams in the tournament currently. That's the most we'll have ever had. And with 9 teams being in, you're exactly right. You can't play that middle half. You can't go on the road and play like, I don't know, a Missouri. You can't go on the road and just expect that you're going to win.
No.
Because they're good enough. They're good enough to make the tournament too. So that's really good for the SEC. And I think the SEC did in basketball what the Big Ten did in football the last 4 years. And they went out and got elite level, good, really solid recruiting coaches. Every school in the SEC, look around. They all have good coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Florida has Mike White is a really good coach. I hate his guts, but he's a nice coach. Even Vanderbilt. I mean, Bryce Drew's really, really good, and he's recruiting the crap out of Mid-State, killing Rick Barnes. Don't need to talk about that. But, you know, and LSU went out, and they got Will Wade. These are all good coaches on teams that are not yet making the tournament.
Yeah, Roberto.
Guys, thank you. Have a nice evening.
Thanks, Roberto.
Yeah, I was going to say that they put a graphic up, I believe it was during the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game, or it might have been the Kentucky A&M game the other night, but it was showing that of the last year, or this year's recruiting class, of top 25 players, there are more top 25 players in the SEC now than there are any other conference. So it's the SEC, ACC, then I think it's like the Big Ten after that.
No, I mean, the entire league in the last 4 to 5 years has made a concerted effort to hire more established, better coaches. That much is clear. And you wondered how long it would take or if it would even work because SEC hadn't really done that. And right now it's looking pretty good.
Big SEC matchup for Tennessee. 6 o'clock Saturday, Texas A&M rolls in, and their SEC record, not so hot, but they're definitely a talented basketball team. It'll be a tough test for Grant Williams, Rick Barnes, and the Volunteers. We'll come back with more 3 and Out driven by Toyota Knoxville. Stick with us right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to 3 and Out driven by Toyota Knoxville. Talking a good bit of NFL football today as the divisional round gets going this weekend. Saints and Vikings 4:40. I feel like the three teams, I disagree with Roberto a little bit. I mean, I guess he kind of said this, but I feel like Atlanta, New Orleans, and Minnesota, any of those three teams, I just don't see Philly in the Super Bowl. Can't picture that in my head.
Yeah, he also asked about the rushing attack for the Saints. Can they get it back on track? Minnesota's second-best rush defense in the league.
Oh, they're loaded.
Going to be a tough weekend for the Saints trying to run the football. Going to have to get a little bit more creative. But they did that against the Panthers, and it worked. They were able to do just enough to score. They did get a running touchdown from Kamara. It's all about the points. Let the production come from wherever you can get it.
They are at least playing indoors now that Minnesota has the swanky new dome.
True. But yeah, the Minnesota's defense is really good.
Really good.
That said, everyone's kind of been lamenting the Saints' inability to stop the pass. Should be a little bit easier trying to stop Case Keenum than Cam Newton and crew this weekend.
Are there talks that Sam Bradford could be back if they need to make a change?
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen anything about that.
I don't he won't be starting. Like, they're going to stick with Case Keenum. But say you get a Nick Saban-type situation where he decides to, all right, Case can't handle the pressure. We're going to go ahead and make the switch.
I mean, if he's available, I'd be stunned if he didn't try that. Well, I just don't know if he's available.
But unlike Philadelphia and Nick Foles, Case Keenum's played well. Like, he hasn't...
That's true.
He doesn't push the ball down the field the way Sam Bradford does well at times. Sam Bradford, obviously not always elite level or anything crazy like that. It's been a lot different. Like, Wentz goes out for Philly. Nick Foles had a kind of a so-so showing, played well for a stretch, and then was awful in the last game. But that one didn't matter, so I don't know. Like, and Nick Foles has kind of proven that he's pretty much garbage. Everybody gives Case Keenum kind of the big benefit of the doubt because he only sucked when he was with Jeff Fisher. He's been pretty good when he hasn't been with Jeff Fisher.
That's actually really true.
And Jared Goff.
Funny how a lot of quarterbacks suck when they're with Jeff Fisher.
And now
except Steve McNair, because he was like Josh Dobbs to Butch Jones.
Jared Goff looked like a different player this year with McVay running the offense. I mean, he would run like the play action off like the outside zone, flip his shoulders around, check the deep read, come back over the middle to a dig, like, you know, 23 yards, throw it over the linebacker in front of the safety perfectly. And it's like, dude, last year, I feel like you couldn't even take the snap with that Jeff Fisher offense. I don't know. Case Keenum at least seems to play the quarterback position the right way. He just has some physical limitations. Like, he's just not going to make a ton of wow throws. But he does get the ball to Adam Thielen, who's had a monster season out of nowhere. Stephon Diggs is really good. I mean, they spread the ball around. The running game just kind of is what it is, but it's the defense for the Vikings that's so dynamic, so good. And that's Mike Zimmer's calling card. I mean, I remember every year the coaching carousel would open up in the NFL, and everybody would go, yeah, we're interviewing this guy, and Mike Zimmer. And everybody would say, yeah, Mike Zimmer's just too much of an ass. No one wants to give him a head coaching job. And now really, I know there's a few good options, but you could consider Mike Zimmer for coach of the year this year, couldn't you? I mean, the Vikings 13-3 without,
and he's doing it with one eye.
Without a quarterback.
Think about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you looked at the story of how he messed his eye up?
I have, but I've since forgotten it.
It was he had his play sheet, and you know how they laminate them?
Yeah.
It had the edge of the piece of paper that was laminated, basically come up and cut his eye whenever he lost control or the wind took it.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
So this was a workplace injury.
That's how he messed his eye up.
Workman's comp. He's rich.
That's why you got to have glasses.
If I was a coach, I'd always wear glasses.
Yeah.
You don't want to. Some PPE is what they call it, personal protection equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have the PPE.
You have goggles. I mean,
shatterproof. The coaches should wear helmets.
What if the NFL required coaches to wear goggles now because of that one injury?
Buddy, why on construction sites they have to wear glasses and a helmet.
Because
someone dropped a metal beam and it clipped somebody in the head and he died, so now everyone has to wear a helmet all the time.
OSHA in the NFL.
Yeah.
There you go.
You just never know. Serious business.
This just came across my desk, and we're talking about the Vikings and NFC North football. The Bears have hired...
Your desk is my desk.
Mark Helfrich is their offensive coordinator.
Our desk. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The who?
Mark Helfrich, going
no,
to
no,
the
no,
Bears.
No. The Bears. I missed the team name.
The Bears.
For some reason. The Bears.
Helfrich.
NFC
Helfrich.
North football.
Bears.
So Trubisky going no huddle, fast pace, Oregon style? Is that what we think we get here?
He is a decent little athlete.
Yeah,
he can run a little bit.
That'd be pretty fun.
Nagy making a move.
Going for it. All right.
No relation to Mark, by the way. Not
is
it's
it
a,
Matt?
It's a Y
this
with
is
not
Matt
an I.
Nagy.
Nagy.
N-A-G-Y?
I'd never heard of the guy. He did have a. I mean, he had a pretty good year with the Chiefs. They at least at times he had a pretty good year. We'll see.
If Andy Reid knew how to handle a game, he'd be up three rungs on the all-time coaching.
He did. Andy Reid did that game so hard, just complete and utter disaster. Absolute meltdown.
Alabama's losing some players to the NFL. Calvin Ridley, Bo Scarborough, they're gone. Damian Harris, though, coming back for Alabama.
And is it Najee Harris, the other?
Yeah, well, he's a freshman. It'll be the Harris brothers in the Harris backfield. Law firm of Harris, Harris, and Tagovailoa. not exciting if you have Bama on the schedule for the next, you know, ever. Because they're loaded again. Tua plus those two guys next year, and then obviously, you know, you've got Najee for at least two more years. You've got Tua for at least two more years.
Judy at wide receiver.
Judy, who was a freshman who probably could have had a touchdown if there was a little bit better pass from Hurts in that game. They're still pretty good.
This
still
is Damian Harris' stat line. He will be a senior coming up, so he could have gone. First year, he didn't play much. His sophomore year, 145 carries, 1,040 yards. That's 7.2 per carry.
It's pretty good.
This past season, 135 carries, uh-huh, that's 10 less, for exactly 1,000 yards. That's a 7.4 yard average.
So a little above average.
He's getting better and getting the ball less and getting better. No, that's
incredible.
I saw some Tennessee fans, like,
my gosh.
They get Damian Harris to come back, and Tennessee loses John Kelly, kind of the only proven guy in the backfield there. Going to be a rebuild, folks. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. It's going to be a rebuild. Jeremy Pruitt's on. He's on the job. He's on the clock. If you want to hear a lot of Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee talk, check out hour one of the podcast. We'll have it up here in about 20 minutes, 30 minutes or so. Really quickly after we get off the program. Final segment of the program coming back at you. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Final segment from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Mark Helfrich got hired to be the offensive coordinator for the Bears.
Did he just sit out this year?
The Bears.
Yep, he did.
So he got...
He was actively looking for a job, though, right?
Sure. See? He was. Yeah.
He turned down Butch Jones smartly.
He's just robbing. Yeah. Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah.
Actively looking for a job, but then you get offered a job and don't take it? How does that? So Butch Jones could theoretically get offered a job, and Tennessee still has to pay him, like Oregon still had to pay Mark Helfrich? Get out of here. You should have to take a job.
Do we honestly think, though, that Butch Jones offered him the job at the end of the day because we know he would want to change up the system?
That's a good point, maybe.
That's true. Mark Helfrich probably needed like a doctor's note. He probably had to say, Butch, I know you've kind of offered me the job, sort of, if I'll run your system, but I'm just not going to do that. So I need a note for my agent to share with Oregon that I did want this job, just you wouldn't meet my demands.
Right.
Can you sign this, please? And Butch is like, sure,
Mark. Doctor's note. Yeah. Take that, Oregon.
Yeah.
Still paying out through the teeth.
Well, in Oregon, things are at apocalypse level 3, I believe.
This is my favorite news story of all time, by the way. This is my favorite story ever.
Tell them about it.
I don't have all the details, but here's what I know. In Oregon, for years, maybe forever, it has been illegal to pump your own gas. It's illegal to get out of the car at a gas station when next to a gas pump. This is serious. If you want your windows cleaned, if you want gas pumped, if you want your tire pressure checked, you wait for the service, I don't know what we call them, service tech, service...
Attendant,
yeah.
To come out, you roll down your window, you say, gas, clean tires, and they do it for you. You're not allowed to get out of the car. It's a rule. Oregon has finally overturned this law and said, no, you guys are ridiculous. We are the only state in the world, maybe the only place in the world, where people don't pump their own gas.
New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course, New Jersey. New Jersey. So now people in Oregon have been told that, I don't know when the date is, it actually may have already passed and be implemented, that they have to pump their own gas, and people are losing their minds at the fact that they may have to pump their own gas. This is one of the, I mean, think about, that's something that you do weekly, right? I mean, you don't even think about it. Yeah. You just get out, you slide your card, you beep, 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 and then you pick your fuel. Maybe you swipe your points card if you get it at like Food City or a Kroger or Sam's, whatever. Put it in, pull the trigger, set the little clicky to where it doesn't stop. Go sit in the car until it's done.
You're not supposed to sit back in the car?
Why not?
They're static electricity. You could catch on fire when you go back to get it out. Have you not seen the videos?
That's why you touched on... Buddy, you got to touch another metal subject before or surface
I
before
you
go
I just don't want you to
grab...
give bad advice if somebody missed that step and
I
they
thought
blow
everybody
up.
Knew
if you expect
that you...
me to stand out when it's 15 degrees
yeah,
and
dog,
pump my
it's,
own
it's,
gas.
It's going to be
2
degrees tomorrow. Well, you want me to pump my gas? That's why you touch something metal.
Yeah.
There's a metal pin.
Just making sure we give all the disclaimers.
There's a metal circle on most gas pumps.
I get on my phone while I wait, but I have to walk away because I don't want that.
Phone?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you heard about that, too? Yeah.
No.
The phone can make the static electricity worse.
Yeah, I heard you're not supposed to be handling your phone while you're pumping the gas. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Now you know.
And it's worse in the winter, too, because you're usually wearing thicker socks and thicker clothes that can hold and contain more static electricity. Mm. That's why.
I got shocked bad the other day.
There is a metal. Oh, I've been getting shocked a bunch lately. I mean, it's bad.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah. There's a metal circle on the gas pump. You touch that, then you go and you pump your gas.
Yes.
But these people in Oregon, they don't know any of this.
No.
You know, it might be a good point because they don't know. They don't know how to release the static electricity, right?
Major injury.
There were some video, some images floating around. This girl didn't know that you stick the end of the gas pump into. She was spraying it like a hose with gas, and she's trying to get like the game,
aim it, yeah.
Like the game at the carnival
yeah.
when you try to shoot
Dollywood. Like you're shooting.
Yeah, you're shooting through the clown's mouth. She was doing that with gasoline going everywhere. Multiple people have gotten back into their car, the gas finishes the pump, and they drive off ripping the pump handle off of the pump.
I have seen that before, but that's usually just people forgetting.
Yeah, but it's happening more often in Oregon now. It's already happened a bunch because people aren't used to it.
Well, we found some comments that people in Oregon posted in regards to this crisis, as I'll put it, and I'd like to read some of these for you. I've lived in this state all my life, and I refuse to pump my own gas.
Then you are walking!
This is a service only qualified people should perform. I will literally park at the pump and wait until someone pumps my gas. Next quote.
You know what I would do?
Let's all move to Oregon and start pumping people's gas for money.
$5. I'll pump your gas for $5.
Plus tip.
I mean, that's what? Like, you make $5 every 5 minutes. That's money.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
No! Disabled, seniors, people with young children in the car need help, not to mention getting out of your car with transients around and not feeling safe, too. This is a very bad idea. Grr.
There may not be a 3-and-out tomorrow. We might be on a bus to Oregon or on, you know.
I wonder, like, what Let's would people move. Pay? Like, could you, if you offered them, like, dinner mints, could we go $10 a pump? Could we raise the gas prices at our – could we go, we're full service, but we're 10 cents more a gallon, sorry. We're 20 cents more a gallon.
Just start a whole new station.
But we are
station.
Full service. Could you do that here?
We'll and would pump, it work? We'll pump in Fan Run Radio over the loudspeaker.
Oh, my gosh. We'll be rich.
Yeah, we'll coordinate.
You know what that means? We'd have to start the show before 4 a.m. out there to get it back here at 7. Early.
We do the show while we pump their gas. That way we make double money. Like, we still make our money here while also making money pumping gas. It's like, no, this is really so easy. We can do it while we also do the morning show in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, we just got the head. got an extension cord. We'd be fine.
Yeah.
Remote all equipment. That electricity, what could go wrong?
There's
What could go wrong?
There's
our heads would explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three more
Nothing,
I'd like to
no
read
problem.
For you. I've lived in this state all my life, and I refuse to pump my own gas. I had to do it once in California while visiting my brother and almost died doing it. This is the service only qualified people shall perform, and kind of like the last one, I will literally park at the pump and wait until someone pumps my gas. I can't even.
I had to do it once in California. Oh my gosh, what? Pump my own gas.
Going back Incredible. To what you were saying, Houston, about them just like trying to squirt it like the carnival game, this person wrote, many people are not capable of knowing how to pump gas and the hazards of not doing it correctly. Besides, I don't want to go to work smelling of gas when I get it on my hands or clothes. I agree. Very bad idea.
It is pretty, like, it. In all seriousness, if you have never pumped gas, you truly may not know the dangers of gasoline. You may not know how flammable it is because you've never really had to be forced to know this. I'm not siding with the people of Oregon. I'm just saying, I guess if you, because we've all grown up around pumping your own gas and gasoline and we understand it better, if it's always been just kind of handed to you, you have no idea.
I once almost got stranded because I didn't know where the fill tube was on a car on a road trip.
Fill tube? What the hell is that? Do they know what a car is?
I never even thought to look behind the tank. Also, pumping your own gas is overrated.
Overrated.
It's not supposed to be rated. It can't be overrated.
What do you rate?
There's no rating.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Oh, it's overrated.
One guy said, I've decided to move to Oregon to open a school to teach people how to pump their own
gas.
You'd
be rich.
Short-term business, you say? Ha! I will simply branch out and offer classes on such complicated things as tying your own shoes, dressing yourself, operating a self-checkout machine, dial your own phone, mow your lawn, split your own firewood, how to feed yourself, make your own dinner, etc.
Luke Shred tweets in. He says, the Oregon gas comment section should take over the Vol for Life segment this offseason.
We got to find something. Oh, I like it.
There has to be a Facebook group for no gas pumping Oregonians or something, right? We got to find that.
Yeah.
And we just pretend we side with the people. Yes, you guys are absolutely right. We live in Tennessee. We've lost many family members to pumping gas. It's tragedy waiting to happen.
We could even get a guest from Oregon.
Continue to fight the good
fight. Oregonian to weigh in, give us their perspective. What have they seen at the gas station? What's the latest?
I've got
broadcasting live from an Oregon gas station.
I actually know. I have like 3 or 4 or 5 friends in Oregon. I'm well connected.
It goes right with our climbing Mount Everest segments. One's not more dangerous than the other. Pumping gas, climbing the highest point.
So if you moved to Oregon and you don't know the rules and you had gotten out and started to pump your gas before, like what would happen?
So they'd just yell at you?
Yeah, they'd say, no, you can't do that.
Do you have to tip them every time?
Travis says, if Alshon Jeffrey was from Oregon, he'd be screwed.
RIP. Lost his job.
Sad. There you go.
What about all these jobs people are losing? What about the gas pumpers in Oregon? What are those guys going
to
do?
They should have opened class. They should be the ones running the trade schools on how to pump your own gas. Educating Oregonians one at a time. That does it for 3 and Out. For
terrible.
Davey, Houston.
Terrible.
I'm Nate. Talk Sports is next. John Reed.
All
Cody McClure.
Gone.
Keep it right here. Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio.
Great British Bacon Show.